This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
This is a major tragedy, man. One person was killed, another seriously injured on the set of a film that Alec Baldwin was working on. Alec Baldwin was using a prop gun. It went off. We don't know exactly what happened. They say the gun was supposedly loaded with blanks, but something struck the cinematographer on the movie set. Helena Hutchins is her name. She was killed. The director of the film, Joe Souza, was rushed to the hospital. He was in some pretty bad condition, but now there's reports that he has been released from the hospital. Alec Baldwin is the one who pulled the trigger.
Oh, boy.
He was spotted outside the sheriff's office in tears, inconsolable, I should say. You can just imagine how terrible he must feel.
Yeah, it's all so confusing, and like it must have happened so fast, and yeah, it probably hasn't settled in yet.
And it's something that he's used to doing. You put your trust in the prop department, they give you a gun, you're there doing your job. You can't get angry at Alec Baldwin. It's not his fault. He was doing what he was told to do.
Of course, yeah.
But still, I'm sure that doesn't help him feel any better that he pulled a trigger and someone is dead and another person was struck in the torso.
Yeah, no, that'll stick with you mentally for a while. I obviously feel worse for the family and the person who's passed, but that's not an easy burden to carry.
How the hell did this happen?
Didn't this happen once before?
Yeah, well, are you thinking of The Crow?
Was that because I was
Brandon
I
thought, Lee, Bruce Lee's son, was killed on the set of The Crow back in the 90s.
Because was there a bullet in the gun? Like,
no,
it was a real gun?
That was a blank, but there was debris or the blank was incorrectly made. So shrapnel came out of the gun and killed Brandon Lee.
Oh, man.
And they had to fill the movie with doubles and stuff because the movie wasn't even almost done. They had to use some trickery to finish the film to honor his legacy. You wonder, this film it's a Western called Rust that Alec Baldwin was working on. You wonder how can you go back on the set and continue after an accident like this?
Yeah.
And there's so much money at stake with these big Hollywood films. They're probably going to have to finish it.
Yeah. I think you would be contractually obligated, and you know how business goes. You know, if there's investors with money tied up, they're gonna make it.
Man, just a sad story. A prop gun misfiring, killing a cinematographer on the set of the latest Alec Baldwin movie. Baldwin, the one who pulled the trigger. We'll keep an eye on this story because, yeah, what went wrong is gonna be the big question. Jim, do you and your fiance Sarah communicate via meme? You send memes to each other?
Sometimes like a funny meme, but not often.
Okay, I'm going to warn you about something because my wife and I, Uli and I have gone down this road where we send, like you always see memes about being married life online.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one that strikes a chord, I'll send it to her. Like the other day I saw this one and it's a garbage can with a ton of garbage like piled up in a mountain pyramid on top of the garbage can. And it says, wives passively, aggressively piling trash like Jenga until you take it out. Do you guys do that? So
no, it doesn't get that extreme, but I know exactly what you're talking
my
about.
My wife won't take the recycling out. She will balance stuff on top of the recycling bin in the kitchen. And wait until I take it out.
I do know what you mean. I am the garbage man in the house.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but it hasn't got to the... Because ours has a lid on it that comes down, but sometimes the lid is half propped up by the garbage.
Right.
And it'll get full until... Who knows? I've never seen the limit. Because I'm the one who always has to go, okay, enough's enough, and take it out.
So I sent that one to my wife the other day, and she responded by sending me a meme.
Uh-oh.
It says, kids, quote, daddy's nicer, me. Ah, I hear you. Then daddy can put you to bed and mommy will go away for 3 hours. Love you.
Mommy will go to the bar. Watch football.
It's funny,
But I see the road we're going down. I have a feeling that one of these days, one of these memes that we exchange is going to hit too close to home, and it may end our relationship.
Yeah, you got a good game of meme ping pong going on.
Uh-huh. Who's going to win?
It's October 22nd, 2021, also known as National Nut Day. Jim, I don't think I need to ask what your favorite nut is.
Why not?
You got a giant satchel of almonds sitting next to you every morning.
That's true, yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but I think they're the most healthy. They're like healthy fats or something like that. I think the peanut is still my favorite nut.
What would you pay for a bag of almonds that size? Because it's massive.
It's big, yeah. It was like, I'm going to say somewhere between like $15 and $17 or something like that. It used to be $12, but...
Like everything else, price of almonds has gone up.
But almonds went up first. Like, they're all, from what I understand, most of them are grown in California, and the water is super expensive, so everything goes way up there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Billy Bob Thornton show, Goliath, one of the seasons is about almond farming or nut farming, and it has to do with the water shortage in California.
I don't know how the growing process works, but apparently it takes, like, an outrageous amount of water to get one almond.
You better savor every one of those morsels.
I do.
Every one of those nuts you put in your mouth, Jim.
I do. I just leave it in there like a like chewing tobacco.
Yeah. You know, you don't chew it. You just suck on it.
Suck on it. Yeah. Occasionally spit into a Tim Hortons cup. That's it.
Well, this is not the best day for me. You know, I'm very limited in terms of the nuts I can enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, you got some allergies,
got
right?
Got some allergies. When I was 12 years old, I ate a cookie with a walnut in it, went into anaphylactic shock and cardiac arrest.
Not fun.
So a bit of a spotty past when it comes to celebrating nuts for the old Tasman.
Wait a second, I just said peanut is my favorite nut, but you're the one who informed me that that's not actually even a nut.
It's a legume. Peanut is a legume, like a pea or a bean.
That is crazy.
Yeah, because nuts grow on trees. Legumes grow in the ground, right?
I don't know. I guess so.
Think about a peanut field. Have you ever seen a peanut field?
I have not.
Yeah.
But I guess like a peanut shell is not unlike a pod of peas, right? You know what I mean?
Very similar.
Yeah.
You've got it figured out now, Jim.
Here we go. So every time I eat peanut butter, I'm eating vegetables. Right?
Yeah.
A veggie Sammy.
Yeah, it's like having a bean. Well, if you are a nut fan, get out there and celebrate today. It is October 22nd, National Nut Day.
Celebrate National Nut Day with Martha Stewart.
I always love to go to a party where there's gigantic spicy nuts.
Martha Stewart likes gigantic nuts.
Nothing's worse than rancid old nuts. It just isn't worth your time or effort.
Martha says rancid old nuts aren't worth your time.
And I think that the nuts are ready.
She likes them warm.
Warm nuts. They really smell good. Warming just brings out the fragrance of the nuts.
On National Nut Day, Martha Stewart loves warm, fragrant nuts.
This is if you're really bad.
I want to see you peacock, you peacock.
Time for sports on a Friday. Devin Peacock joins us, Global News Radio. He's our sports guy. Dev, some very exciting news for soccer fans across the Great White North.
Yeah, Canada has cracked the top 50 in the FIFA World Ranking.
Hey!
Nice. Woo!
We started the year ranked number 72 in the world. We are now ranked 48th in the world. Throughout 2021, Canada has gone 11-2-4. We've outscored the competition 52-10 this year. 2021 has been a great year for Canadian men's soccer. It's been a great year for Canadian women's soccer. It's been a great year for Canadian soccer in general.
People are getting on the bandwagon here, starting to get excited about the possibility of Canada making the World Cup. What is the timeline like? How many more weeks, months are they going to be playing these qualifying games before we know if Canada is going to be in the World Cup?
A while. The World Cup for 2022 is going to be in Qatar next year. Because it's in Qatar, it's later in the year than it would normally be held. So it's going to be basically held a year from now. And so there's extra time to decide who's actually going to be.
Why did they move it?
Because Qatar is extremely hot in the summer.
It's like a desert. Yeah. It's basically a desert.
Yeah, playing soccer in a sauna. That's a good point. So November 2022 is when they're having the World Cup.
Qualifying in Canada's division goes through March. Now, we might know before the end of March if Canada will make it based on the points. Currently in the standings, they're third, which is great. You need to be in the top three, ultimately the top four. There's a playoff that is initiated for those deciding the fourth spot, but essentially the top four make it through, but it's going to be a while before we know. But here's an extra cool thing about this. Being in the top 50 is pretty prestigious for the players, and this could allow for some of the Canadian soccer players who are not already playing in Europe to achieve some interest from some teams in England, Spain, France, or Germany. And the more experience they get overseas, the better it'll be for them when they play for Canada. Richie Larea is one guy who plays for TFC. He has garnered some interest from English soccer teams in the past. Now that he's in the top 50, I would expect to see him move in the future because of Canada's success internationally.
Also great if Canadian players start making their way over to Europe to play in the leagues over there. Could get people on this side of the world more interested in European soccer. It's a win-win all around. Very excited for Team Canada cracking that top 50. Thanks, Dev. Today is QR code day. This is officially when the QR codes start working. So more than 4 million people have downloaded their QR codes as of yesterday. You go up to a public spot there. You want to go inside. You show them the QR code on your phone or on a piece of paper. They scan it. And if you're double vaxxed, you'll be welcome inside.
Here we go. I thought they were going to keep the restaurant thing going until after Halloween so that there was no Halloween parties in the bars. Like, I was wondering why they were waiting.
Halloween parties are going to be off the hook. It's almost better to have them in bars and restaurants where at least there is some sort of rules and regulations in place. At house parties, you go to, if it's all house parties, people are just going to be rubbing up on each other, crammed into houses. Like, it's, what's the difference?
Yeah. I think it's still going to happen both ways in both places, probably.
Well, there definitely are going to be house parties for the people who don't have their QR codes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether you like it or not, this is the new reality here, people.
This season on CSI, a new kind of detective emerges.
Sir, there's another fake vaccine passport, this time at a hockey game.
All right, we'll go down to the vaccine of the crime and ask around if anyone vaccine who done it.
CSI, vaccine passport detective.
Sir, there's a serial killer on the loose.
No, there's no time. We have to catch this vaccine passport forger. Don't you know there's a global pandemic happening?
But this serial killer!
We'll deal with that later. This is more important.
10 nail-biting episodes of CSI Vaccine Passport Detective coming this fall to Stack TV.
Wow, that's Stack TV. They've got everything. QR code. Q.
I want to see you peacock. You peacock.
Time for sports. Peacock. Devin Peacock joins us from Global News Radio. Hey, Dev.
Hey, guys.
Did the Habs lose?
The Habs did lose last night. They lost 4-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Yes, Perry Kotkaniemi even scored for the Carolina Hurricanes against his old team, which the Hurricanes were delighted by. They are having a lot of fun poking fun at the Montreal Canadiens right now. After they won last night, they tweeted in French about how they had won. And then they tweeted an URL for a website they have created called didthehabslose.com. On the website, you can check to see if the Habs lost. You can also buy a T-shirt for Jesperi Kotkaniemi or Sebastian Aho, who the Montreal Canadiens tried to sign previously back in 2019, starting off this blood feud between Montreal and Carolina. And you can buy the T-shirts for $20, which is the jersey number for Aho, and that is the signing bonus that the Hurricanes gave Kotkaniemi. So Carolina really is not letting this go.
Still obsessed.
They are still obsessed. They're basically like that guy who graduates high school and just can't let it go, who, you know, 20 years after out of high school keeps asking you the same thing. Hey, remember when we did this? Hey, remember when we did that? It's like they just can't let it go.
Al Bundy, Paul Kai.
I was going to say me.
Jim Kelly. And Jim Show.
I still go to graduation parties, right?
You know what I like about this high school, man?
While Carolina was coming over with all these sweet burns, I don't know if they remembered that they lost Dougie Hamilton to the New Jersey Devils. He didn't want to sign with the team. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. They traded away their top goaltending prospect to the Detroit Red Wings for what amounted to be a third-round pick. It's not as though they had a fantastic offseason. They're off to a good start this year. Congratulations to Carolina. But maybe get your eyes on the prize here, guys.
Yeah, I'm all for a good sports rivalry, but it seems like they're really trying to force this one. If I was Carolina, I would have made a website called Did the Leafs Lose to a Zamboni Driver? .com. That would be a good one. Don't you two Leaf fans agree?
That was years ago. Let it go.
Did the Habs lose.com? Yes, they did, but they're living rent-free in the Hurricanes' heads. Thanks, Dev. We've been pronouncing IKEA wrong? What?
Apparently. You said it the way I say it, IKEA.
IKEA.
The same way everybody I've ever heard say it. Says it, including on television, but apparently in Canada, we've been saying IKEA completely wrong. I guess it's actually pronounced IKEA. IKEA.
IKEA.
The Swedish multinational conglomerate has come out to set the record straight on how to pronounce IKEA, because people weren't only pronouncing IKEA. Some were pronouncing it IKEA or IKEA or IKEA, but it is in fact IKEA.
IKEA.
If you say it in its natural born Swedish language, IKEA is how they pronounce it.
Well, I disagree.
Respectfully.
I disagree. You know, Swedish multinational conglomerate?
What?
You can't put this on us.
It's been years.
Let's call the Burlington IKEA.
Okay.
And see what happens.
How they pronounce it.
Hey, and welcome to IKEA. To continue in English, press 1. Hey, sorry, we are currently closed.
I heard IKEA.
Blatantly, the robot said it.
If you're calling yourself IKEA for decades, you can't one day say, you guys are all pronouncing my name wrong, it's IKEA.
Yeah. It's like, why were you sitting on that for so long? What do you gain to benefit from this?
You should have corrected us the first time we said it wrong.
True. If a new employee comes in and you call him Steve for the longest time, and then 4 years later he says it's actually Stefan, too late, you're Steve forever now.
Hey, and welcome to IKEA.
Hey, sorry, we are currently closed.
It's IKEA. What's with all the hays as well on your phone service? Hey, it's IKEA. Hey, we're closed right now. IKEA, hasn't your parents ever told you that hay is for horses and horses are for your meatballs?
What?
You don't remember the IKEA horse meatball scandal, Jim?
Vaguely.
Sorry, I mean the...
IKEA.
IKEA.
There we go.
Horse meatball scandal.
And they're actually pronounced meatballs.
Jim, I caved last night, was at the Walmart, saw that big old satchel of O. Henry's mixed with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Reese's Pieces, the cookies and cream. It's the best bag of chocolate bars there is, in my opinion.
That's a good one. That's a good quality variety.
I enjoy every bar. You know, some of the bags, some of the satchels or boxes that you buy, they've got one bar that is always the last one to get eaten.
Sure, yeah. The bottom of the box is all one color, like after 5 days.
Like the Arrows.
You don't like Arrows? That's just chocolate.
You're a plain guy. You're a plain chip guy. I'm not surprised that you like the Arrows.
They're not my favorite. I would rather have a Snickers or a Mars, but I mean, as far as satisfying anybody, I think an Arrow, nobody doesn't like an Arrow,
well,
right?
I saw our friend Liz posted this earlier in the week on the Facebook pages. She asked with that specific, because that one is the Coffee Crisp, the Kit Kat, the Arrow and the Smarties.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had to get rid of one from that pack, which would you get rid of?
Smarties is the easiest answer ever, for sure.
See, I wouldn't, because Smarties with my kids, huge hit. I would lose the Arrow in a second.
Hmm.
Coffee Crisp, I love. I love breaking apart a Coffee Crisp and eating it in sections. Like, you eat the top piece, and then you eat, like, the coffee part in the middle. Kind of like an Oreo cookie.
I've never done that.
It's fun. You should give it a try.
I didn't know that was legal. I thought you had to eat it with a coffee, like those old 90s commercials.
And then Kit Kats are just skinny Coffee Crisps.
But, yeah, Kit Kats are amazing, though. Kit Kats are great. Smarties suck because, like, just for me, as I don't have any kids, so when I buy the candy, I'll be left with whatever is left. And Smarties is the one you can't binge eat that well.
Mm.
Like, your mouth gets cut up. First off, the taste is, the covering of the Smarties is the most tasteless stuff ever. Whatever.
Would you go M&M over Smarties?
Every day. The crunch is more satisfying and it doesn't cut up your mouth. Like Smarties, I don't know, that whatever is covering the chocolate,
the
doesn't taste
coating.
Good, and it, like, it's hard. I don't like it. And if you eat like 7 boxes in a row, it starts to hurt. And then you get your finger in the bottom of the box.
The best is you're complaining about how you don't like Smarties, yet you will still sit there and eat 7 boxes in a row.
What are you going to do, throw them out? There's starving kids that would love Smarties, Taz. I'm not gonna waste them.
Right.
I will sacrifice my gums.
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
No, because I know I will eat it.
Yeah, I don't think I've bought my Halloween candy yet either, because this 100-pack of O. Henry's and Reese's treats is gonna be gone by next weekend.
Does the price go up the closer it gets to Halloween? Because I would put it up if I had a store. But that's like, I there must be like a balance, like a certain amount of days out would be the perfect time to buy candy. Because the day before, I would be shocked if the price didn't go up.
Depends how much stock they have, right? If they want to move stock.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd think the price might go down a bit before, but definitely the day after, price goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll be stopping at the store on the Monday after Halloween, Jim, and you'll be stocking up on Smarties, even though you say you hate them.
Better than no Smarties.
They're 50% off. How can I not buy them? Zeppelin with Taz and Jim. Ramble on. Leaves are falling on the ground. They sure are. And it's just going to increase here with the temperatures getting cooler and cooler. It was a chilly start to our morning, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the people working outside this morning. We're deciding, like, do I wear the gloves? Is it going to get sweaty? I guess I'll pop the gloves on for a bit. I don't know.
It's that old grass is always greener thing, huh? So all summer I'm complaining it's too hot. God, I wish it was too hot again.
I will never complain about it being too hot ever again. I guess maybe in my house.
Do you complain about the cold, though? Are you a cold complainer?
No, not really. I try not to. I like the cold. I like the cold. I like snowmobiling. I like skiing and snowboarding.
Got to remember where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Happens every year, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead in the forecast, Halloween is going to be around 12 degrees as the high and 5 degrees as the low. You're wondering when it's going to start freezing. It doesn't look until after Halloween that we're going to start dipping below zero as the overnight low. So there's a positive. But I am seeing a lot of cloud in the forecast for the next 2 weeks.
Bound to happen. We had a good run, a long summer. We should chalk it up as a win.
Right. It's going to be chilly for all those sexy Halloween costumes, though, on Saturday the 30th.
Mm-hmm. Won't stop anybody, though.
Lightweight fabric and not a lot of it in those Halloween costumes.
I miss those days. I don't know if the last time I've been out to a bar.
You miss what? Dressing in a scantily clad costume, Jim?
No, going out to a bar on Halloween and seeing them all.
It's a great time to be single.
It's a great time, yeah, to be in college. It was the best.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you got the announcement coming later today. It's expected that Doug Ford is going to say that restaurant capacities and bar capacities will be increased. Stuff like, will you be able to stand in a bar and drink a beer, or are you still going to have to sit down at a table? That's up in the air, but it's a real possibility that we're going to get a lot closer to the way things were before 2 years ago when the pandemic broke out. Almost 2 years, man. Crazy to think. COVID-19, like just the name of it seems so outdated.
Yeah.
It's 2021.
Yeah. Isn't it COVID-21 at this point?
It's been almost 2 years. But that could be big news if you're planning to go out and get into some mischief on the Halloween weekend next weekend. It'd be nice to be able to get indoors with your QR code as well, because it's going to be chilly out on the patios.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I started watching Squid Game last night, Jim.
You finally did, eh?
Cave to the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Meh. It's all right.
Okay.
You loved it?
I didn't love it, but I thought it was good. It was definitely good.
Did you finish the entire series?
I did, yeah.
Can you at least just tell me, and if you're hardcore, you don't want any spoilers, just turn it down for a second, but... is this going to be an ongoing thing? I don't know if the formula is sustainable for my interest level.
What do you mean? Like a second season or this whole season?
One season. If it's a one and done, I think I can handle it. But I don't think I need to see a season two of this show.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with I don't need a season two. What is it? Why is it so meh? See, here's the thing. Everybody's been talking about it. So it obviously can't live up to whatever expectations are going on out there, but you don't think it's good at all? Nothing intriguing?
Well, it's good to see. You know that I have been known to gamble a little bit.
Sure.
I don't feel like gambling after watching it.
Yeah, man. You see how you're up and you're down, right?
It's twofold. I feel like I don't have a gambling problem compared to the characters on the show.
Sure, sure.
But at the same time, it's like, man, imagine you got there. Know your limits and play within it, Squid Gamers.
Well, yeah, you'll be frustrated if that kind of theme continues to run through the whole season. So it might be a feel-good story for you then.
Season two, though, is it done after this? What do you think?
It's up in the air.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's the most successful Netflix show of all
time,
apparently.
They'll make a season two.
Even if they weren't planning on it, they will shoehorn something in there.
I get it, though. I understand why people are starting to play these games that are featured in the show. They do look like fun. Like, I would love to have a big red light, green light match.
Yeah.
See if I can beat my buddies.
Sure, maybe with paintballs.
Paintballs would be good. Can we set that up?
Yeah, something we call Skid Games, and we'll just do local games around here for the same prize.
Yeah, and what was the cookie one I watched? That's where I am. I'm at the cookie episode.
Yeah.
That's kind of a dumb game.
Yeah, that one's stupid because it's not something I'm aware of. Maybe it's a South Korean game. I would love it if it was all Canadian games though, and like specifically Canadian stuff would be fun.
Yeah, Red Rover.
Red Rover would be great. Capture the flag, maybe.
Hockey.
Manhunt.
Team loses. The guns come out.
I thought there'd be a rock, paper, scissors episode in this one. For
is
sure.
Not? Spoilers,
yeah,
buddy.
Sorry, yeah. I'll leave the rest in the air, but.
That would be a tough one because that's very random. Rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street this weekend? I know you've been dabbling into the vintage horror movies. You watched Halloween earlier this week. And I said, if you're going to watch Halloween, you got to watch the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, which I've never seen. So that's on the list, as well as the original Exorcist, which I've shockingly never seen as well.
Keep this in mind. You can now buy Nancy's house from A Nightmare on Elm Street for $3.25 million U.S. It's in California. It was used for the exterior shots in the film. And there's a guest house and a pool in the backyard. It would be great if you wanted to buy it and turn it into an Airbnb.
That's the way to do it, eh?
Let Freddy Krueger fans spend the night, do the interior of the house up like Nightmare on Elm Street style. You could probably make some good coin doing that.
Sure. In the tub, make sure there's like an arm-hand contraption.
I thought you hadn't seen it.
But it's in the ether, you know? I know all like the classic parts.
You're lying in the tub and there's just an arm coming up from down below.
So authentic.
Right. It can't just be sticking out, though. It has to come up halfway through your bath.
Well, yeah, of course. You got to wait for it.
Some sort of contraption. If you want to buy Nancy's Nightmare on Elm Street house, sure, you'll sleep great. $3.25 million. It's up on the market.
Thank you very much for checking out the Taz and Jim podcast. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, live on the radio, you can do that on FM 96 in London or Y108 in Hamilton, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 9:30. Or subscribe, keep downloading the podcasts, and we'll keep talking.